ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So reading today from the fourth canto, chapter number 30, chapter entitled Activities of the Prachetas, text number 16. Apratak dharma shilanam sarve samba sumudyama apratak dharma shilayam Bhuyat Patyar Pitasaya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. You brothers are all of the same nature, being devotees and obedient sons of your father. Similarly, that girl is also of the same type and is dedicated to all of you. Thus, both the girl and you, the sons of Prachini Parishad, are on the same platform, being united on a common principle. Purport. According to Vedic principles, a woman cannot have many husbands, although her husband can have many wives. In special instances, however, it is found that a woman has more than one husband. Draupadi, for instance, was married to all of the five Pandava brothers. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead ordered all the sons of Prachini Parishad to marry the one girl born of the great sage Kandu and Pramalocha. In special cases, a girl is allowed to marry more than one man, provided she is able to treat her husbands equally. This is not possible for an ordinary woman. Only one who is specially qualified can be allowed to marry more than one husband. In this age of Kali, to find such an equipoised woman is very difficult. Thus, according to the scripture, Kalau Pancha Vivarjayet, in this age, a woman is forbidden to marry her husband's brother. This system is still practiced in some of the hilly tracts of India. The Lord says, Apratak Dharma Shilayam Bhuyat Patnyar Pitasya. With the blessings of the Lord, all things are possible. The Lord specially benedicted the girl to surrender equally to all brothers. A pratak dharma, meaning occupational duty without difference of purpose, is taught in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is divided into three primary divisions, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. The word yoga means acting on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed by Bhagavad Gita, Yatnyata karma no nyatra lokoyam karma bandana tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain unattached and free from bondage. One may act according to his own occupational duty just to satisfy the Yajna Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is called Apratak Dharma. Different limbs of the body may act in different ways, but the ultimate objective is to maintain the entire body. Similarly, if we work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will find that we satisfy everything. We should follow in the footsteps of the Prachetas, whose only aim was to satisfy the Supreme Lord. This is called Apratak Dharma. According to Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Bhagavad Gita 18.66. This is the advice of Lord Krishna. Our only aim should be to act in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of the Lord. This is oneness or apratag dharma. You brothers are all of the same. So we are continuing to narrate the activities of the Prachetas. And here we see the Supreme Personality of Godhead has so wonderfully given his darshan to these Prachetas who have been doing devotional service for 10,000 years. And then he is giving a specific instruction to the Prachetas here. Get married to this girl because this girl and you are on the same platform. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, Lord Krishna instructs Arjuna to perform his duties in devotional service by keeping all abominable activities far distant. In verse number 2.49, the Lord specifically instructs Arjuna as to how he can perform his devotional service, and that is by keeping the abominable activities far distant. Srila Prabhupada, giving a lecture on this particular verse, was explaining what is meant by abominable activity. For a person who is in the mode of ignorance, an activity that is performed by him, which is basically what we would consider, what a person who is moral would consider as abominable, like cheating, murder, rape, robbery. This would be activities which an individual who is situated on a moral or with moral principles would consider abominable. But Srila Prabhupada is explaining that for a devotee, any activity which is not connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be considered as abominable. And Srila Prabhupada in this particular purport, towards the end of the purport, he says that all activities have to be done with a view to satisfy the Lord. And so also in this particular verse, 2.49, also Srila Prabhupada comments that any activity which is intended to satisfy the Lord is to be considered as an activity in devotional service. And that is what a devotee is expected to do. This is the advice of Lord Krishna. Our only aim should be to act in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of the Lord. And all other activities, if they are not intended to satisfy the Lord, are to be considered as abominable. And we see over here, the Prachetas are so wonderfully carrying out this particular instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Bhagavad Gita. For 10,000 years, they were meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead with no expectations. Just like when Vamandev approached Bali Maharaj as a very small, insignificant dwarf, he approached Bali Maharaj in his darbar, and Bali Maharaj asked him, because Vamandev was in the form of a brahmana, and it is a duty of every kshatriya, particularly a king, and Bali Maharaj was a king of the entire world, all the three worlds. So it's a duty of every king to ensure that the brahmanas are properly treated and respected. So Bali Maharaj welcomed Vamandev and washed his lotus feet, sprinkled that water on his forehead and inquired from him, "My dear Brahmana, how can I serve you? What can I give you?" Vamandev told Bali Maharaj that, I'm a Brahmana, what can I take from you? What do I need in any case? But since you are ready to give me, I request you to give me 3 paces of land or 3 steps of land. Bali Maharaj was bewildered. So he said, "It looks like your intelligence is as small as your physical frame. Because can't you see that I am the proprietor of these 3 worlds and I can give you anything? And what are you asking me? For 3 steps of your land which is 3 of your steps." That is insignificant. And then Vamandev made a statement which is so deep and profound in its meaning. He told Bali Maharaj that any person who is not satisfied with whatever he possesses or whatever he has, such a person will not be happy even if you give him all the 3 worlds. So my dear king, I'm just happy with this 3 paces of land and just give me that. The spiritual master of Bali Maharaj, Shukracharya, immediately realized that here was a person who had come to trick his disciple. So he advised Bali Maharaj, told him, "Please, there's no need for you to fulfill your promise. Because any promise or any commitment which is made, which affects your property or your position, need not be compromised. You need not fulfill such a promise." But Bali Maharaj said, "No, I have already made this promise to give him whatever he wants, and it is my duty to fulfill his promise." And then Bali Maharaj told Vamandev that, "Yes, you may take your 3 steps of land." And then, in just 2 steps, the Supreme Personality of Godhead covered the entire universe. And right in the front of the eyes of Vamandev, in a few seconds, he was reduced to utter poverty. From a situation where he was the king of the entire, of all the 3 worlds, from there he was reduced to a situation where he didn't even own the land on which he was standing. And he still had to fulfill the promise of Vamandev. He still had to give him 1 piece of land, 1 step of land. So then Vamandev told him that, "Yes, now Bali Maharaj, what more can you give me? I've taken everything from you. What more can you give me?" So at that time, Bali Maharaj put his head forward and said, "This is my head, and you can put your lotus feet on my head." And we see how Vamandev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, showered his causeless mercy on this representative from the Asura dynasty. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord says that 4 types of people never come to me. Asuram, Bhavam, Ashritam, Naradamas, Mayaya, Parthajnanas, Mudas. These are the people who never come to him. People with a demoniac quality never come to him. And here, Vamandev is giving his complete mercy to Bali Maharaj. And then Bali Maharaj, after he had surrendered everything, so the Lord then asked Bali Maharaj, "Now you can ask me for a boon. You asked from me a benediction." And Bali Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, I don't need anything from you. I'm just satisfied by having your darshan. I don't need anything else." And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead reciprocated so wonderfully with Bali Maharaj. He told him that, "Because you have surrendered everything to me, I shall become your doorkeeper in this place called Sutala, where you will be residing as the king. I shall manifest myself as your doorkeeper." So the Lord has taken such a humble position, insignificant position, Just because Bali Maharaj surrendered everything to him. The stories actually highlight one very important aspect. This particular story highlights a very important aspect of how Bali Maharaj realized that ultimately the Lord is in any case going to take away everything from him. Unlike all of us who don't realize this particular aspect and make so many plans to somehow or the other ensure that we are maintaining our family, maintaining ourselves in a very comfortable situation, ensuring that everything goes on very nicely without any hindrances, not realizing that slowly but surely time factor is creeping upon us and making us come closer and closer to death. This realization came upon Bali Maharaj. And by reading this particular pastime or hearing this particular pastime, we also at least momentarily realize that this is going to happen to all of us sooner or later. But the nature of this material world is such that it keeps you bound to always think that everything in this material world is permanent. You are permanent, whatever you possess is permanent, your relationships are permanent, and everything is permanent. Nothing is going to happen to you. Everything happens to everybody else, but nothing is going to happen to you. Every day in the evening I go for a walk in a place close by to where I live. And one day after finishing my walk, I was sitting down in the park. And I happened to be sitting next to a person who was quite old. And as I was sitting over there, this person's friend happened to come in the park. And then apparently they had met after a long time, so they started talking, and this person also sat down next to me. And the person who was sitting next to me earlier started relating to him about his son who was in the US, and he was explaining to him that my son is doing well and he's located in so and so place and he's so and so is having so and so occupation. And the other person also started telling about his son who was also in the US, also maybe having a similar job or having another job. And both these men were exchanging confidences about their sons. And they were going into such ecstasy. I was seeing that they were so happy relating about their two sons. So this went on for about 15 minutes. And then the person who had come first, who was sitting, he indicated to the other person that I want to leave. I have to leave now. And he left. And just at that time, another person who was overhearing the conversation came and sat down next to the second person. And I'm just listening to all what is happening. And so this person told the second person, the third person told the second person that I'm surprised I was hearing you talk about your son in the US, but as far as I know, your son has come back 5 years back. He's no longer in the US. So the second person looked at him and said, yes, I know that he's come back 5 years back, but how can I tell this to the other person? When he is relating the glories of his son, obviously I have to relate the glories of my son. And my son, I told him not to come back, and this rascal came back and now he doesn't have a job over here. And if he was in the US, I would have been so happy. Literally, he was practically on the verge of tears, trying to explain that his son is causing him so much of misery. And I was just thinking to myself that here are two old men who should be talking about Krishna actually, rather than about their sons, one who doesn't even exist in the US, make-believe son who is in the US. And they're getting so much of satisfaction out of it. So this material nature is so strong, it holds you in a grip and makes you create a phantasmagoria situation. And you want to believe it. You want to think that all this is happening to me, whereas it's actually not happening to you. You are in control of the situation, whereas you are totally under the control of material nature. And it's only in a situation where, when we come into Krishna consciousness, and we realize devotional service means ahaituki apratihata, unconditional, unmotivated love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only in such a situation are we in a position to appreciate the futility of this material existence. Otherwise, it's so difficult. I remember a couple of months back, I was in our native place, and we have a small temple over there of Ganapati. And every day in the morning and in the evening, there's Aarti, Ganesh Aarti. So one day I just happened to go there, and at the time of Aarti, and the curtain had not yet opened. So I was waiting over there for the darshan to open. The darshan opened, everybody paid their obeisances, and then the Aarti began. And suddenly one lady entered into the temple hall. And apparently she was wearing a new sari. And rather than taking the darshan of Ganesh, everybody started taking darshan of this lady. And in fact, one lady who was standing by my side, she commented to her, "Such a beautiful sari. Looks so nice." And I was thinking to myself, "My God, this is their Lord is giving darshan to them. The aarti is going on and they are appreciating a stupid sari in front of the Supreme Person, in front of the Lord." So I was just thinking that how strong the effect of this material consciousness is. That you are there in front of the Lord, but still you are thinking about so many other things. So satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be appreciated only by devotees. And all activities that we do, we have to understand that it is being done only for the purpose of satisfying the Lord. In the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see this devotee by the name Shivanand Sen. Shivanand Sen was a grihastha. He had a wife, he had three children. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given him the responsibility of ensuring that devotees are brought every year from Bengal to Jagannath Puri to see him. This was the responsibility that was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself to Shivanand Sen. In so many words, told him that this is your responsibility. You have to bring them every year. Make all arrangements to ensure that devotees come comfortably to Jagannath Puri. So it so happened that one year, when the devotees were travelling to Jagannath Puri, Shivanand Sen used to stop at every toll naka in order to pay the toll charges. Because at that time, the responsibility for maintenance of the roads was with the individual zamindars. So they would collect the tolls and then maintain the roads. So in one particular toll naka, Shivanand Sen was delayed. Unduly delayed. And the devotees went further. And towards the end of the day, Shivanand Sen had still not returned, and they had already reached the place where they were supposed to camp for the night. So Nityanand Prabhu, seeing that Shivanand Sen had not come, he was very upset. He asked, "Where is the Shivanand Sen? I am so hungry that I could die at any moment." And then he cursed. He cursed Shivanand Sen and said that, "For this offense, I curse that all the three sons of Shivanand Sen should die." Shivanand Sen's wife was with Nityanand Prabhu, and she overheard this particular curse, and she was completely devastated. She started crying. And just at that time, Shivanand Sen came after finishing off his toll business, And then this wife of Shivanand Sen went to him and told him that our sons have been cursed to die. And she started crying even more. So Shivanand Sen looked at her and said that, why are you crying? Our children deserve to die because they have inconvenienced Nityanand Prabhu. Why are you crying? So then immediately Shivanand Sen went and prostrated himself at the feet of Nityanand Prabhu. And Nityanand Prabhu, the moment Shivanand Sen approached him, kicked him very, very hard. Shivanand Sen fell down once again at the feet of Nityanand Prabhu and told him, I'm so fortunate to be touched by your lotus feet, which is not available even to gods like Brahma or Shiva. This is a lotus feet that is not available even to them, but I am so fortunate that my body has been touched by this. And then immediately he set about making the arrangements for Nityanand Prabhu. And then after Nityanand Prabhu was comfortably situated, Nityanand Prabhu is so unpredictable that one moment he is kicking Shivanand Sen, the other moment he embraced Shivanand Sen and told him that I am so happy that you have made all the arrangements. And once Nityanand Prabhu was pacified, Shivanand Sen went about performing his other duties to the other devotees. At that time there was the nephew of Shivanand Sen by the name Srikanta, who was the son of Shivanand Sen's sister. So he was somehow very confused about this whole episode, how Nityanand Prabhu could kick Shivanand Sen. And he said to the others that Shivanand Sen is actually a very intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how could Nityanand Prabhu kick Shivanand Sen? By this act, Nityanand Prabhu is trying to show that he is superior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then saying this, Srikanta decided to leave the party and go separately to Jagannath Puri. And he proceeded to Jagannath Puri, and once he came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he paid his obeisances. And Govinda, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, told Srikanta that, please remove your coat and please remove your shirt before you pay obeisances. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately told Govinda, no, don't disturb him. He's very much, looking at him I can make out, he's very much distressed. There's something that is disturbing him very much. So please leave him to do whatever he wants. And from this, Srikanta could make out that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, how are the other devotees? Where are they? What are they doing? How far they have reached? And Srikanta related to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everything, but he didn't relate to him the episode about Nityanand Prabhu kicking Shivanand Sen. Of course, the Supreme Lord knew everything. A short while later, Shivanand Sen came with all the devotees. And when Shivanand Sen approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shivanand Sen was asked, what is the name of your son? What's the name of your third son? And then Shivanand Sen said that my son's name is Paramananda Das. And it has so happened that last time that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had met Shivanand Sen's wife, she was carrying this third child in her womb. So at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told Shivanand Sen that when your child is born, you should name him as Puridasa. So Shivanand Sen named him Paramananda Das, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would often call him by his name as Puridasa. And on that particular occasion, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Puridasa, he took his beautiful lotus toe and put it in the mouth of Puridasa. Krishnadas Kaviraj explains that who can understand the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? His mercy is so great that for him, he was considering as if Shivanand Sen was part of his family. And then later on he told Govinda that so far as Shivanand Sen's wife and children are here, please ensure that they get my remnants every day. So Shivanand Sen, just by making Nityanand Prabhu happy, he got so much of mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another pastime that is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita is about this devotee by the name Kalidas. Now Kalidas was a very advanced devotee, and it so happened that once when the devotees were going to Jagannath Puri, at that time Kalidas happened to join the group. And Kalidas was such an advanced devotee that he would be chanting the Lord's name all the time, 24 hours. In fact, it is said that he would chant the Lord's name even when he was playing dice. But Krishnadas Kaviraj tells us that that can be done only by Mahabhagavats. We should not be doing such an activity. So such an advanced devotee. And his particular fascination was to get the remnants of the Mahaprasad of all the Vaishnavas. And practically all the Vaishnavas in Bengal, sometime or other, he would have had the Mahaprasad. And in fact, what he would do is, he would take gifts to this Vaishnavas, and he would give these gifts to them, and then beg for their Mahaprasad. And if they don't give, then he would hide, and when they had thrown away the remnants, whatever was remaining in their the banana leaves, he would come back to that place and take the remnants from that. So once it so happened that he purchased some mangoes, very, very delicious mangoes, and wrapped them in a banana leaf and carried them to the house of a devotee by the name Jaru Takura. Now, Jaru Takura was actually from a very low caste from the material point of view, but he was a very advanced devotee. So moment Kalidas approached the house of Jaru Takura, he paid his obeisances. Jaru Takura reciprocated, and his wife who was sitting next to him also reciprocated. And then they started glorifying each other. Kalidas told Jaru Takura that, "I am so fortunate to be associating with you." And Jaru Takura told him that, "I am so fortunate to be associating with you. But actually I am such a low caste person, but you are such a respectable person from such a high class. You should not be associating with me. In fact, you can't even have prasad in my house. But if you so permit, I will see to it that prasad is delivered into the house of a brahmana and you can have prasad over there." So this was the humility of Jaru Takura. But Kalidas said, "I have just come over here to take your association and to give you this gifts of this mangoes." And then Jaru Takura again told him that, "I am an untouchable person. Please don't glorify me like this." And then Kalidas started quoting verses from the scriptures, telling the exalted position of a Vaishnava vis-a-vis any other person. But even a dog eater, if he is a Vaishnava, he is to be considered as a very exalted person. So many shlokas he started quoting. And then Kalidas took leave of Jaru Takura. And Jaru Takura brought Kalidas outside and saw him off. And then he went back to his house. Kalidas was watching the footprints of Jaru Takura. And after Jaru Takura had disappeared, he took all the dust from his footprints and smeared it all over his body. And then he went and hid himself. After some time, Jaru Takura offered this mangoes to Lord Krishna. And then between him and his wife, they finished off a few of these mangoes. And then his wife took the remnants, the leaves, the skin and the inner portion, and wrapped it in the banana leaf and threw it into the drain, into the gutter. Kalidas was hiding all this time. The moment Jaru Takura's wife went inside, Kalidas came out and took this remnants and started licking it with so much ecstasy. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that the ecstasy that Kalidas felt cannot be explained. And then later on, when Kalidas, one day it so happened that, every day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would, at the time of coming to take darshan of Lord Jagannath, Govinda would be carrying a pot of water, and just at the foot of the Jagannath temple, the Govinda would be washing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet before he went into the temple. And it was a strict rule that nobody would be allowed to touch this water that washes the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But one day it so happened that just at that time Kalidas came over there, and when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet were being washed, he put his hand in front and drank that water. He drank it not once, but he drank it 3 times. And as he was extending his hand for drinking it the 4th time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped him and told him that you have got more than what you deserved. So we see over here how merciful and how reciprocative the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. Seeing the humility, seeing the desire of Kalidas to serve the Vaishnavas. Of course, we all know that there are 3 very, very powerful substances which are essential for advancement in devotional service. One is the dust of the devotees of the Lord. Second, the water that has washed the lotus feet of the Lord. And third, the remnants of the Mahaprasad of the devotees of the Lord. Those are 3 very, very powerful substances. And Kalidas always used to ensure that he got all of them. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just by seeing what is the humility of Kalidas, gave him this supreme opulence of being able to get his Charanamrit. So this is not an ordinary reciprocation. This is the reciprocation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when we are surrendered to Him. Srila Prabhupada states over here that our goal should be to satisfy the Lord. And if we satisfy the Lord, then the Lord ensures that everything is taken care of. There is nothing that we will ever lack. Ye atamam prabadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. Mama vartamanu vartante manushya partha sarvasaha. To the extent that we surrender to the Lord reciprocates. And from these pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, from these exalted devotees who have surrendered everything just to satisfy the Lord, we can try and follow in their footsteps to somehow or the other make our life successful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the key to success in devotional service. Hrinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be more humble than a blade of grass, to be more tolerant than a tree, to expect no respect for ourselves and to give all respect to others. And in this mood, we can chant the holy name of the Lord continuously. Kirtaniya sadahari. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed us that we should wear this particular mantra around our forehead and dovetail our life around this particular mantra. So that should be our goal, to try and associate with devotees in the mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant. Because by that we know we will definitely please the Lord. The Lord says in the 11th canto, Mad Bhakta Puja Vidika. Worship of my devotees is more dear to me than worship of myself. Service of my devotees is more dear to me than service to me. So He has given us the recipe for success in devotional service. And it is up to us to take the teachings of the Acharyas, both in the words as well as from their life. Srila Prabhupada at the age of 70, just to fulfill the desire of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in such frail health, went over to the United States of America to preach to people who had no concept about what Krishna is, who had no concept about following any four regulative principles, for whom rather not following the four regulative principles was a way of life. Preaching to such people and making them into brahmanas, pure devotees of the Lord. Such a fantastic transformation. And because of his munificence, we are all over here, both getting the benefit, because it is said that whether a person narrates the Bhagavatam or listens to the Bhagavatam, both get equal amount of benefit. So all of us are getting the benefit of the austerities that were performed by Srila Prabhupada. So, understanding how to satisfy the Lord and trying to put that into practice. Knowing that whatever little bit of effort that we do in our devotional endeavor, if we do it, so far as we do it in the mood of trying to serve the devotees, the Lord will reciprocate with us definitely. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments? Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavrinda ki jai.